is the Steve Gruber Show, the fearless pursuit of truth.
We would live in a different America. We would live in a different America if Hillary Clinton had been elected president. I mean, that's pretty simple. It really is. You know, you just look at what the Supreme Court decisions have been with Neil Gorsuch on the bench, which obviously he wouldn't have been there absent Donald Trump. The Janus case, ruling in favor of the guy saying he doesn't have to pay union dues. The travel ban that Donald Trump put forth, upheld by the United States Supreme Court, telling Christian pregnancy centers in California, no, you don't actually have to put advertisements for abortion clinics on your walls. And it goes on and on. Voting rights in Ohio, where they said, yeah, you can actually update and purge your voting rolls to make them accurate. Why not? Gay rights and religion, another big win. That was a 7-2 vote, but a lot of those were 5-4. We'd live in a different world for sure. My next guest predicted that and then was pleased that it didn't happen. Dinesh D'Souza, writer, scholar, public intellectual, and a renowned filmmaker. Now, Dinesh, welcome back to the program.
Hey, it's great to be on the show.
And so how different would America be today just 2 years later if Hillary had been elected president? I mean, you put out there Hillary Clinton's America, and you put out some really solid warnings about what it would look like. We're in a different place, aren't we?
Well, yes, and I actually have a new movie in the theaters right now. It's called Death of a Nation with an accompanying book. So, yes, let me say that, if Hillary had won, all of this stuff that's coming out now about how the Democrats have been using the weapons of the state, like the Department of Justice or the FBI or the IRS, against political opponents, all of that would have been swept under the rug. Not to mention the fact that we wouldn't see this sort of dramatic shift in not only in public policy, but also in the animal spirits of capitalism. I mean, the reason the economy is taking off is all this money that investors and entrepreneurs have been holding back just out of fear,
sure,
of the confiscatory policies of Hillary and Obama. Now that's all going into jobs. And so we're seeing really an American restoration. I haven't seen something like this really since the early 80s when Reagan promised to
we
make
are to
America
a point.
Great again, and did.
We are to a point, Dinesh, and I agree with you that. But as you, I think, focus on some in your new film, A Death of a Nation, we have this group of people that absolutely will not accept the legitimacy of the last presidential election, which is weird. If you go back, you look at like tweets from Elizabeth Warren saying, you know, hey, Donald, you know, there's nobody messing with the election. Pull on your big boy pants, or however she put it in her tweet, right? I mean, chiding him for the idea that somehow the election could be messed with by anybody. And now it's all Russia, 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 because they will not accept the fact that Donald Trump beat them.
Exactly. Now, in our movie poster, we literally morph the head of Lincoln and Trump. And some people do a double take and they go, what? You know, but my point is not that Trump and Lincoln are the same type of person, but that their situations are similar. You can't find anything like what's going on now by going back to the Reagan era. You have to go all the way back to 1860, because think about it. In 1860, an outsider, a Republican, unexpectedly wins the presidency and all hell breaks loose. The Northern Democrats are calling for his assassination, some of them. The Southern Democrats are willing to break up the country over it. So all kinds of craziness was swirling around Lincoln, and we see the same kind of mood now in which the same party, the Democratic Party, cannot abide the result of Trump's election. And all these screaming about racism and fascism and white supremacy, all of these are efforts to ultimately delegitimize Trump and cancel out the result of the election.
Yeah. And if you go back to that election, I believe that Abraham Lincoln, memory serves, only got 39% of the vote, you know, and Donald Trump, you know, got almost half the vote, obviously, and they still don't want to accept the legitimacy. It is a challenge. How do you deal with half the country that is so hysterical and frankly having a hissy fit, for lack of a better term, and refusing to accept the legitimate power of this president? And worse, Dinesh, you see a lot of these judges, activist judges, just federal district judges, bringing the whole country to a stop in certain places. That's not the way it was designed.
Right. Now, the problem, I don't think, is the rank-and-file Democrat. The problem is that there is a sort of progressive vanguard, if you will, and these are the people encouraging Antifa thugs to put on costumes and drive people off campus. These are people in the media, for example, whose basic assumption is that Trump is, you know, Hitler circa 1933. Now, this race card and fascism card are the two most incendiary cards in American politics. The point of my movie is to blow them up, is to show that this is a fake narrative. Even this notion that the white nationalists today are on the right. I mean, we're going to be hearing a replay of this with Charlottesville this weekend. Oh, look at these white nationalists. They're all right-wingers. Nonsense.
That is nonsense.
It's nonsense. Most of these guys are actually on the left. And in the movie, I interview America's, you know, poster boy of white supremacy, Richard Spencer, and expose him as a leftist and a progressive. He's not on the right.
Right. You know, and here's what happened Tuesday this week in Michigan. Dinesh D'Souza here on the program on a Friday. This week, Tuesday, the voters of Michigan, the Republican voters of Michigan, the conservative voters of Michigan, gave John James an overwhelming win. John James, a black man who graduated from West Point and flew combat missions in Iraq in his helicopter, sent him with 550,000 votes. I think he got more votes on Tuesday than any other candidate in the state that day. John James going on to take on a three-term incumbent Democrat senator. So if John James wins in Michigan, mathematically speaking, the vast majority of his votes came from white people, working white people, the so-called deplorables, the alleged racists of the conservative and Republican movements. How could that be, Dinesh?
Well, remember that if we look at history, this is actually in no way a surprise. Let's remember, the Republican Party is the party of emancipation, of fighting against segregation, of shutting down the Ku Klux Klan, of supporting and, in fact, enabling the civil rights laws of the 1960s. Now, I recognize this is not stuff that progressives teach in college. It's not stuff you'll see on the History Channel or Wikipedia. But this is America's actual history. So the notion that this Republican Party, the party of Lincoln, is embracing a qualified African-American candidate and pushing him to the forefront, it makes perfect sense. It's just that we Republicans have been sort of sold a big lie, and some of us actually gullible enough to believe it.
Well, that's the thing. Even going so far as Donald Trump endorsed John James, not once but twice, did robocalls for him. Mike Pence came here to campaign for him. I mean, it is absurd, but you won't see that in the New York Times or CNN, will you?
Well, one of the things we do in the movie, by the way, and if I may say so, if you go to deathofanationmovie.com, you can plug in your zip code and boom, it'll tell you where the movie is playing near you. Anyway, we recreate these scenes from early fascism and show that in the 30s, the Nazis and the Mussolini's fascists were drawing all kinds of ideas and inspiration from American progressives and from the Democratic Party. Now, all of this history is swept under the rug. After World War II, the progressives were coming to power in academia and the media, and they knew that fascism was on the left. They knew that Hitler was a national socialist. They knew that Mussolini was a Marxist. But they said, look, we don't want young people to find out about this stuff. We're going to muddy the definition of fascism.
And they pushed him back in the closet. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Dinesh D'Souza here, filmmaker, his brand new film, Death of a Nation. More with Dinesh D'Souza after this break on The Steve Gruber Show.
The fearless pursuit of the truth. This is The Steve Gruber Show.
deathofanationmovie.com. I jumped on the website, Dinesh, just to see. It's playing everywhere. Easy to find tickets, easy to find a theater near you, no matter where you live in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. They all popped up there, so you know you can find your way to the theaters and look at this film. When you look at what's going on right now with Bob Mueller or some of these other things, and you know Rod Rosenstein and Andy McCabe and all these players that they're referred to as the deep state. What do you make of this ongoing effort to delegitimize the president? Because it doesn't come from just Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, but it comes from people that have real power in Washington. Dinesh, am I right or wrong?
You're quite right. The what we've seen, I think, is the gangsterization of the Democratic Party with Obama and Hillary. You didn't have that before. I mean, look at my own case. The Obama administration going after me on a campaign finance technicality. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell just confessed to exceeding the campaign finance law 5 different times, but no talk of prosecuting her. So what's really going on here is that, you know, we've seen a change. Now, think of the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover was a colorful character. He did some crazy stuff. He was taping Martin Luther King and so on. But he never dreamed of trying to put his finger on the scale of a U.S. election. He wouldn't even think of that. But the very notion that these guys like Peter Strzok think that they can do that, they're obviously getting the green light to do it from their superior.
You know, it's not that they think they can do it. Dinesh, that's the thing. They feel somehow self-righteous to do it, that they're obligated to do it. Somehow they are on a higher plane to do this, that they're morally obligated. That's what's worse to me. They have this, they've deluded themselves into believing that.
And this is why I think this sort of fascism card and race card are critical. Because why do they believe it? Now, they believe it because they've been sold on the idea. I mean, think about it. If we lived in Germany circa 1933, and even if Adolf Hitler had been elected in a lawful election, I think we would still feel righteous in thinking, okay, we should be part of the resistance. We should topple this guy. So what's happened is that the media left has sold the sort of rank-and-file Democrats, as well as guys like some of these guys like Peter Strzok, on the idea that Trump is Hitler circa 1933, and all of that rhetoric is intended to sanction and legitimize these sorts of gangster tactics.
Don't you find that mind-numbing?
Stripping the result.
Don't you find that mind-numbing that somehow Donald Trump is equivalent to Stalin or Hitler or Mussolini or whomever? I mean, is Donald Trump shipping people off to internment camps? Is Donald Trump building crematories? I mean, the absurdity of it is amazing to me, because people have these supercomputers at their fingertips every day, some in their hands, some on their desktop. They do have Google, don't they?
Well, Donald Trump is flayed on every media platform, every single moment of every single day. Now, a real authoritarian would have shut that down in 5 minutes. Also, you know, in the movie, we have this scene where we actually show the Nazi platform. It's the 25-point platform. And it goes like this: state control of banks, state control of insurance corporate companies, state control of education, state control of energy, state control of healthcare. So here's what I'm saying. I mean, Trump is not even on the same page as these guys. He's not even on the same side of the aisle. The fascists were on the left. So this effort to sort of pin the fascist tail on the Republican elephant, it's deceitful. It really belongs more securely on the Democratic donkey.
Yeah, it's not that he's not playing the same game. He's not even playing the same sport. I mean, Donald Trump is a capitalist, period. He doesn't want state control of the banks or education or energy or healthcare. He wants the opposite of that.
Now, I have an eye-opening interview in this movie with Richard Spencer, who's the poster boy of white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
This guy has been unfailingly portrayed as a right-winger. And in this interview, it becomes obvious that he's on the left. I ask him, you know, are all men created equal? No. Where do we get our rights? Well, we don't get them from God. Well, where do we get them from? Well, we get them from the government. The state is the source of our rights. What do you think of Reagan? Terrible president. Who are your favorite presidents? All Democrats. So suddenly you realize, when you're watching this movie, you've been sold a bill of goods.
Again.
Ever since the Charlottesville rally of last year, the media has continually, you know, howled, white supremacy is on the right, the white nationalists are all Trumpsters. Actually, that's not true. That's
not
a
true.
Big lie. And so,
well, here's the absurdity.
The book, watching the movie, it opens your eyes.
Yeah, in addition to that, Dinesh D'Souza here talking about Death of the Nation. Death of a Nation, based on the New York Times bestseller that he wrote, The Big Lie. There's also a forthcoming companion book, if I'm not mistaken, by the same title. But even the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been greatly discredited in recent months, thankfully, that goes out and creates the list of hate groups in America, could find 7,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan. And that's them counting every single person, probably a couple of them twice. 7,000 Klan members, all in different little groups, not in one single group. In a nation of 320 million people, it's not exactly a big problem, Dinesh.
No. In fact, if we're looking for racism today, and I developed this theme, I think, elaborately, essentially you're not going to find it with these white nationalists who have no power, no political power, no cultural power. You need to be looking at the Democratic ethnic plantation, by which I mean the black ghettos or the Latino barrios, the Native American reservations, where all these minorities live in intergenerational poverty, and despite trillions of dollars, nobody gets ahead. There's all this nihilism and despair. You want institutional racism? That's where you're going to find it.
Well, yeah, and it's all over the place. All right, so again, deathofanationmovie.com, the place to go find a theater near you. And trust me, they're all over. I jumped on the website. I got three theaters within 10 minutes of where I'm sitting right now that I can go see the movie. So I'm going to go see it this weekend. I'll let the listeners have my critical review come Monday. Dinesh, I'll give you the last word, but I want you to hold on the line after we stop here for a second. I want to ask you one thing off the air, but I'll give you the last word.
Well, our country is in transition, and I think that Lincoln, you know, saved America for the first time. We have a chance, I think, with Trump to save America for the second time. That's kind of the tagline of the movie. You'll love it. Take your family and friends. Go see it this week.
All right, there you go. Great job, and well done. When's that second book coming out? When's the companion book? What's your idea?
You know, it's in the stores now. It just hit the New York Times bestseller list.
There you go.
The movie and the book, same title, Death of a Nation.
Good for you. Dinesh D'Souza, and congratulations on Donald Trump saying you're good to go on that pardon. Dinesh D'Souza, always good having you here. If you could hold on the line, I greatly appreciate it. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Friday. We'll be right back.